Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 645. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, and I'm recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, it is in his rightful place, laying on my couch right behind me, getting some needed shut-eye as, my three-legged kitty friend here, Agent Fox Mulder. I had mentioned, I believe last week, that I was going to attempt to see what it would be like to get him a roommate, to get him a friend, a play pal, if you will. And I tried that. Where do I begin? So this, I'm recording this on Saturday. I took in Agent Scully on Thursday. She's awfully quite a bit younger than Agent Fox Mulder here, which I guess I'm pretty sure that David Duchovny is a bit older than Gillian Anderson. So I think that kind of, you know, it works out. I imagine he's at least a few years older than her. I'm not sure what the ages there are, which was always funny in the X-Files series that Gillian Anderson was playing this FBI agent that was a doctor, and she knew all this stuff about, she had like a PhD or, you know, all kinds of crazy shit. And my audio sounded really fucking weird tonight. I think I got something weird going on. Anyway. She was like 24 when she recorded that, and yeah, there was something really fucking weird for the audio. I apologize. Think I might have to reset my soundboard or some shit. Agent Scully, the cat that is, she's got four legs, but she's only like 10 months old, not quite a year. Whereas Agent Fox Mulder here, I don't know exactly how old he is. But when I had taken him in initially, the vet had guesstimated that he was between the ages of 3 to 5 years of age. As I wonder if maybe I got a short going on or something. Something very strange in the neighborhood. Check the cords. Anyway. This is really weird. It's like I'm dropping out. Just all of a sudden like a bunch of bass. And then like no treble. You know, it's all about that bass. And then all of a sudden, no, the treble comes back. So I'm all bass now. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't know what's going on. I did have a cat attacking my soundboard the other night. Kept jumping on it. So there might have been some shit there. Some issues. Anyway. Maybe I'll just take the damn headphones off. I'm hoping the recording doesn't sound like that. Actually, I could pause it, I guess, and just see. Well, my bright... I guess I'm a little silly. Pausing it doesn't work. I'd have to stop it and then... I had to create some edits and stuff, and I don't know if I want to do that. Seems like it's too much effort. I'm already several minutes in. So yeah, Agent Scully, son of a bitch, man. This sound is really killing me. This is fuck. I'm gonna have to stop and restart. Okay, so I fucking restarted. All right, I stopped, and it sounded like I couldn't hear it in the recording. It's just something weird that's going on in my headset as I'm recording. That's annoying the shit out of me.
So I guess I'll just take the headphones off, which is weird.
Because I like to hear what I'm doing. And I don't yet. Whoa, shit. There is some echo going on there as I got my headphones a little too close to the microphone.
I'll just go by the sound form,
the way it looks like on the computer here, and hopefully that's all right. Anyway, Agent Scully, man, this is really weird not doing the headphones because I am so used to the sound of my voice in headphones and not. Holy fuck.
It's like I'm going blind. Anyway, yeah, Agent Scully. She's all of 10 months. I want to say 10 months old. Agent Fox Mulder was guesstimated when he showed up to be between 3 to 5 years old.
He showed up almost, it was January of 2021. So, you know, it basically, fuck, it's going on. Or no, sorry, 2022. It's January of 2022, I think. Or no, I guess it was. Shit. Yeah, it was 2022. Yeah. I moved in May of 21. I'm getting old and forgetful. So it would be 3 years, almost 3 years since he showed up and they did that test on him. So he's between... six to 8 years old. So he's, you know, I mean, he should have several years left as long as he's in good health, you know. But quite a bit older than, you know, 10 months old. And I'm thinking he's probably more on the lines of the 8 years old, you know, personally. He's getting a little crotchety. He's, although, you know, he's awfully spoiled. Awfully spoiled. I do give the fellow a lot of stuff. He has full reign of this house. And anyway, so yeah, Thursday was the day I was going to pick up Agent Scully, which, according to the paperwork through the Franklin County Humane Society, which I guess I will be adopting her from. She, according to them, that her name is Carrie, which I gotta say, Scully sounds a lot better than Carrie. Although I feel like Carrie might be like a accurate representation of what did transpire when she did get here, or at least the second day rather. I picked up Agent Scully from Missy, who is I guess currently fostering her for the Humane Society. And I got her, I should note beforehand, knowing that I would have another cat with claws and that, you know, I got a brand new sofa and stuff. And I don't want all my shit destroyed. I went to PetSmart and tried to look for scratchers, the scratching posts. I knew that Petco had some ones that I was interested in, and I was hoping that if I had just had a bunch of scratching posts that, you know, perhaps my furniture could last some time. PetSmart didn't have the shit, though, that I wanted. I did not like their pet scratchers, though they did have quite a cute cat that was there for adoption, and I was like, no, already supposed to get another one. Let's not fuck this up here. Eye on the prize. I went out of there, and then it was Monday that I went to go get the scratchers. And I didn't find anything I liked at PetSmart. I was going to go to Petco, but Petco is like right next to Big Lots here in Washington. And it was already getting like late in Monday, and you know everybody's doing last minute Christmas shopping. Big Lots is closing, like all their locations, I believe. So they're doing a big closing the store sale. And so there was a lot of traffic. It was like impossible to get into the... it was going to take some time to get into that parking lot. I was like, you know what? it's not that important for me to get a scratcher today. I had already talked with Missy and like planned out that Thursday was going to be the day that I would take in and try this having Scully here. And so so I was like, well, I can still get some scratchers before then. And I guess I went, I think I went on Christmas Eve during the day to Petco, if I remember correctly. And I, yeah, it was Christmas Eve, and they had like 30% off their scratchers. I think it sounds like I'm talking about lottery tickets, but I'm talking about cat scratchers. The posts, scratching posts. Which they had some decent ones that I got. Like there was a mushroom one that was on sale for like $27, but the 30% off ended up being like $27. There was a cactus, which was a little bit more pricey, but ended up being like 30 something, even with the 30% off, but pretty cool little scratching post. They had a really cool carrot, but I was like, oh, two. I was like, oh man, I should maybe get that carrot. The carrot was only like, with the 30% off, so it's going to be like only like 27 or whatever. I'm like, ah. But I didn't get the carrot that day. But like after I decided, after Christmas Day, going over to the Muffin Man's and having Christmas dinner and whatnot over there, like the next day I was like, you know what, I got to go get. On the day I went to go pick up, I keep wanting to say Eileen, but that's, I didn't end up adopting Eileen. That's from years ago. That's over at Jackman's house. Anyway, Scully. I knew, I went right before getting Scully, I went and got another cat scratcher and like another food bowl and such. And so I knew getting a young cat, like she's probably going to tear a lot of shit up. She's going to have a lot more energy, and she's got a whole other leg with claws. So I was like, let's get that, which there's some, Petco's got their cat scratching post game on, man. If you want to get some cool scratching posts, Petco's the way to go. At least in a retail store, you know, I can't say for buying online. But, you know, buying online, you just kind of have to rely on, you know, pictures and maybe some reviews. These days, a lot of those are written by AI or just, you know, people that are getting paid by the company to write those reviews. Those can be, you know, sketchy, shall we say. Anyway, so I, yeah, I got the three scratching posts, the carrot, the mushroom and the cactus. And Mr. Fox, though he doesn't like to use scratching posts, he does at least seem to like the mushroom because it's got the nice big round top on it and he likes to rub his face against it. So, you know, that's something. He likes that. He's a fickle cat. Yeah, anyway. So the moment of truth came after getting the carrot that I went to go pick up Scully, and thankfully she was in town. She lives in not too far from here, like a 6-minute drive. So I had to go far. And I'd gotten a new pet taxi too. That was a big part of me going to PetSmart, actually, is I picked up a new pet taxi because I didn't actually have one. The few times I've driven Fox anywhere, I was brave and put him in the car without a carrier, which is not a great idea in an automatic shifter, or not an automatic, a stick shifter, a manual, because he did pretty well. I didn't drive very far when I had him in the car, but at one point I remember he did try to get under my leg where I was trying to shift and push down the clutch, and it's a little hard to push down a clutch when you got a cat underneath your foot. A little difficult. Like, I don't know, I had an automatic, probably not a big of a deal, but I had pushing down the clutch all the way. While he was down there, I was like, oh, I didn't want to crush him. And, like, yeah, it was a little awkward. So it's good that, you know, I have a pet carrier. It's probably good. And so, yeah, I get the pet carrier. I get all ready. I get Scully. And Missy had given me a towel of hers and her favorite toy. And that way, too, like, it had her scent on it. that I could like introduce that to Fox to like keep them apart, because I knew, you know, I've been around cats my entire life, but I you know, I don't remember any time of the moments of introducing another animal. But I know that animals can be awfully territorial. And Agent Fox Mulder here has ruled this roost the entire time he's lived here. I mean, I am just I'm just his roommate. This is his place. This is his penthouse. I had, what, like 6 months or so where it was just me, and I really owned it. But since then, it's all been Fox. It's Fox's penthouse. I don't even know why I called this. It should be Fox's penthouse. Maybe I should be just call it that from now on. Anyway, and I, you know, I didn't want, I knew he was going to be, you know, a bit territorial about it and not like want somebody to just take up a ship. But I thought, you know, over time he would be good for him to have a companionship, as I'm not here a lot. I work a lot, and here lately I've been doing more outside of work, so that, you know, I feel bad that he doesn't have anything to do, as when I am here, he's, like, attached to my hip, and I feel like he's probably got some, like, separation anxiety. So I was like, oh, I'm trying to do this for his his sake. I didn't really want to take care of another cat. Didn't want to scoop more shit. Have to feed them more food, you know, spend more on litter and food. I brush him every night, and then I'm, you know, I'm going to have to brush two cats and, like, trim both of their nails. It's, you know, a lot to take on. So I picked her up, and she's a tiny cat. Very, as opposed to Agent Fox Mulder here. I mean, she is less than half his size, maybe a third of his size. So right there, I mean, he shouldn't be too afraid, right? Even missing a leg. I mean, he could just sit on her and be just be like, she can do anything. He's a fairly large cat, fairly large. I mean, I've seen plenty of larger cats. He's not like a Maine Coon. Or, and he's not like, he's a little chunky, but he's not like obese. he could stand to lose a pound or so. Probably, you know, part of my fault, but he, you know, he likes to eat. He eats a lot. Anyway, I have the Scully and the pet taxi in my car, and I get home, and I still had the carrot and of course her toy and towel. And first I took the carrot in with her little toy and towel and like placed that down, and or I guess I placed the toy down when I brought out the pet carrier. And at first he didn't even notice that I had a fucking cat inside a pet carrier. He saw this toy, which her toy is like a plastic tunnel thing with two balls in it. Was, I guess there used to be three balls, but one of the balls is like not in there. And you know, they can move the ball through the tunnel. It just goes in a circle. And he saw that, and he always like, oh, what is this? And he's smelling it, you know, smelling her. And then he realized, oh shit, there's something inside that fucking carrier over there. Cause I think she started making noise. He started smelling that, and I think I may have heard him hiss a couple of times before in the like almost 3 years he's been here. But usually, I mean, he'll let me know when he's mad, but he won't really hiss at me. He'll like almost give me a growlish meow, like, ah, fuck you. But he won't hiss. He started hissing like immediately upon like smelling her. He's like, fuck you. Like, you prick. What is this shit? What is this shit? Now, I knew that, you know, you're not supposed, like, when you're introducing new animals, you're supposed to, like, separate them, keep them separated. And, like, the offspring, that's what that's all about there, right? You know, you got to keep them separated. Anyway. So I attempted to do that as long as I could. I had set up food and water in my upstairs bathroom, which is the bigger bathroom. Of course, there's the full size bathroom, whereas the downstairs is just a half. It's just toilet and sink. But the upstairs is a fairly good sized bathroom here in Fox's penthouse. So I had it set up for her to hang out in there, and I brought her up there. I didn't want to just shove her in his face. I knew that was a bad idea. Especially, I mean, he immediately started hissing, and she didn't quite respond in that manner initially. But I took her in the bathroom, and I hung out with her in there, tried to calm her down, because, you know, she's been, like, living in a kennel, essentially, at Missy's house. She's got, like, a small kennel. I mean, she's not in the kennel the whole time, but she's, you know, sleeps in there. She's got, like, the litter box and everything. And I didn't want to keep her totally confined. But, like, tried to calm her down. I figured I'd just, you know, the first maybe few hours or so. I know you're supposed to do it, like, at first day or whatever. I kept her in there for, I guess, a couple of hours, but she really started crying a lot. And I can't just leave her in this fucking bathroom. And maybe it wasn't even a couple hours. But I knew that there was a cubby hole right outside the bathroom, which she seemed pretty scared, and that she wasn't really wanting to run around. And there's a pillow I put inside that cubby hole because when I first took in Fox, like, that was the spot he would go to, and he liked to hide in there. So I put her in the cubby hole, which he rarely ever goes in there now. Sometimes we'll go in there, but I figured it's pretty safe to just put her in there. I didn't think he was gonna, like, really push to. He was curious, like, while I was in the bathroom and getting kind of upset with me, like, dude, why are you in there and not out here with me, man? What the fuck? What are you doing? There was already that sense of betrayal, and I put her in the cubby hole, and she was totally fine with staying there. She was very scared and timid and did not really seem to want to leave the cubby hole. So I was, like, fine with that. Like, okay, cool. I can keep them apart. And I went ahead and left the bathroom door open with some water and stuff in there. And I had some treats. I left a couple of treats out for her, but I could not get her to eat. She did eat, I think, not too long before I picked her up, though. Anyway, the first night didn't go too bad. The first night was not too bad. I mean, the few interactions the two cats had with each other, not great, but they stayed apart. Neither one of them seemed to really want to go near the other one. She was out, like, a little bit, but, like, and they did have some confrontations. There was some hissing involved. Fox was not happy at all to have this woman up in his shit. The funniest part about the first night is that she had been, of course, that cubbyhole, and she was basically staying around my bedroom, sometimes, like, going in my bedroom, hiding under the couch. But she had, like, hid behind, like, the washer. She can get into a lot of places that Fox can't, and she was able to just, like, avoid him. And he was completely aloof to where she was. He's apparently not a great hunter. I mean, he's been babied. He hasn't had to hunt for anything, really. I spoil the man. But at nighttime, you know, Fox always sleeps on me every night. He comes and, like, lays on me and, like, sleeps. He might get up from time to time, but at some point throughout the night, he's going to be sleeping on me. And he waited till late because he knew she was up here, but he didn't want to have to go around her. Eventually, he had to do it. He had to come and lay on me, and he's all just paranoid, like, coming up to, like, jump on the couch, like, looking around. Then he get up, and he did sleep on me. And then, of course, I had the automatic feeder. I still kept that on. I didn't want to fuck up his routine too much. I figured I'd feed her separately. And his automatic feeder goes off at 3 a.m. because that's just like when I worked at Magnet, I would start work at 5 a.m. and I'd get up at like 3 a.m. and I would just have it go off whenever I would get up. And I just kept it at that time because, I mean, it's automatically feeding him. Not that I really have to do much. And just to avoid fucking with a schedule because it really throws him off. He gets very upset. 3 o'clock came. That feeder went off. Normally, when he hears that slot machine of food go off, dispensing of the food, the ting, 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 hit the food hitting the metal pan at the bottom, he immediately bolts to it, just like it's the house is on fire and he's got to get the fuck out. It's like it's that important to go down there. And, you know, up until this Thursday, he was the only animal in the house other than myself, and I've never eaten his food. I don't know why he would have to go down there and eat his food immediately. That's how he's always been, is that he's got to just immediately get to the food and just devour it. And so when the feeder went off, I was awake, and he didn't move. He's kind of looking around. He heard it. I knew he wanted to go down there and like eat his food real quick, but he didn't know where Scully was, and he's like fucking petrified. And which to me was kind of funny. I mean, again, he's like almost three times her size. I mean, she's at the very least half a size, but I want to say probably a third of a size. And for him to be scared of her is just kind of funny. And as he finally, after a couple of minutes of sitting there, he's like, I got to go get this fucking food. He gets up and he's like slowly like walking, doing his little hop because, of course, he's got three legs. And he's looking from side to side the whole time, like walking down the hallway, and then he'll hiss in one direction, turn his head, hiss in the other direction because he's got no idea where she's at. Till eventually he makes his way downstairs and gets the food, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen him do. It was kind of funny. You could tell that he was just like sheer terror, which I felt bad. At the same time, I felt bad, but it was also very funny. And because it, you know, it's complete. That fear was unwarranted, especially at that time. At that time, there was only hissing. That they had not attacked each other up until that point. Now day two started. It started to seem like maybe there was some warming up to each other. They were getting closer. Like Fox would sit down the hall from her and like just watch her and stuff. And it was only when she got to a certain point, then he'd start hissing and stuff. He was kind of warming up to her. And then, like throughout the day, it just getting closer. But again, like if they got too close, like I would play with the wand toy with both of them, try to get them like playing together. And then it just, they got too close. And all that stuff. And so I thought I was making progress. Thought it was going good. And when the Blues game got on, I was like, I'm putting on the Blues game. Which the Blues killed it. It was a great game. They won 7-4, if I'm not mistaken. The first three goals were just bang, bang, bang. Like in the first like 10 minutes or so. Anyway. I put the Blues game on, and I go to take the moving blankets off the sofa, go watch the Blues game on the sofa, and as I'm watching the Blues game, Fox is, of course, on the sofa. He's chilling out, and he's watching the Blues game. He's watching his boys play. He's a big Blue Note fan. As I'm doing that, Scully comes down, and she, Fox is like on the opposite side of the sofa from me. He's sitting on the back of it on the top. And then, as that's progressing, Scully had come down and was just walking past. And I don't even think Fox even noticed the first time when she like came through, but then she like jumps up on my side of the sofa and like sits with me. And he saw that. He didn't like flip out. He didn't flip out. And I was like, oh, hey, maybe this is progressing good. Like, doesn't seem he's not fucking hissing and losing his shit. And she was pretty good at that point, just chilling out while I was down there like watching the Blues game. And then I think they might have had a little bit of interaction in there with a little bit of hissing and stuff, but for the most part it was pretty good. And then I went upstairs to after the Blues game wasn't completely over, but I watched like the last period on my phone while I was came upstairs to play Call of Duty. At that point, Scully was becoming more and more interactive, shall we say, so more energetic, and proceeded to really try to get my attention while I was playing the game. She was like jumping on the soundboard and rubbing up against me and meowing a bunch and like, oh boy, like, come on, chill out here. But then she kept like doing that to me, and then she'd like run downstairs, and then I'd hear like, oh, hissing and stuff. Like, oh, god damn it. Like, she must be going up to, because by that point, she was not scared of Fox. Initially, she was scared of him. Then it was like, oh, nope, I'm going to go see what he's doing. Thought Mr. Fox was doing something there behind me. Anyway, as I speak of him, but I'm like, oh man, I'm like paranoid. I'm like, man, I don't want as I'm playing a game. I think he's sneezing over there. I was paranoid that I was going to hear just sheer like blood curdling screams or something from one of the cats. What is he doing back there? Apparently, he was just sneezing, because I look back there and he's just laying on the comforter, just getting some shut eye, because he didn't really get much sleep last night. Neither did I. After I was done with Call of Duty, and by the end of Call of Duty, she was really making it very difficult for me to play Call of Duty. I was not doing very good, as I was very distracted. After I was done with that, I was trying to just, I went to turn on my TV and play a little hockey on the PS5. You know, I was getting ready for bed and to chill out, to call it a night. Because I was supposed to today go to my cousin's for Christmas. Unfortunately, for her, she got strep throat and had to cancel. Thankfully for me, I didn't have to drive to St. Louis. She lives in St. Louis. I'm sure exactly where. But it would have been probably close to an hour drive for me. And that would have been real rough. Because I ended up only getting like an hour or two of sleep. What transpired, like once I started playing that hockey game, was just complete chaos. Scully decided she couldn't resist Agent Fox Mulder, that she needed to go at him, because as the night progressed, it became more and more clear that, hey, yeah, she's a bit in heat. As I talked to Megan and Missy the next day, today, she's in heat. Didn't know that until really last night. But she wouldn't leave Agent Fox Mulder alone. She kept going right at him, and he was letting her know, like, hey, get out of my fucking face. Fuck around and find out. Like, he'd do the hissing and stuff, and then that wouldn't fucking stop her. And then at one point, I was playing the hockey game. I heard, a blood-curdling scream. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, man, please tell me he didn't, like, actually hurt her. And I went down there. Well, I found her, and checked her out. She wasn't like bleeding or anything. I'm sure he probably nipped her a little bit, or maybe just smacked her with his paw. I'm gonna guess he probably bit her a little bit, like he does me. Whatever happened, she let quite the sound out. But she was fine. I checked her; she was fine. And that didn't. I figured after that, be like, okay, I'm gonna stay away now. She'd be back to being scared and timid. No, I ended up like taking her, put her away, and then she went right back to him. And like I heard him like hissing, and like, you got to be fucking kidding me! Like, you just probably got bit or something. You could tell that he's not feeling it, and yet you're gonna be like, oh fuck yeah, let's do this. It's on. Like Donkey Kong. Like fucking shit. I mean, I mean, I've been horny at times, but I wouldn't say that I felt like I've been in heat. Never felt like I had to force myself on somebody. But it was very rapey-ish going on here last night at the that Fox's penthouse with Scully. She was like going at him, and I eventually was like, I gotta separate these two because she just would not leave him alone. And so I put her in the bathroom with food and water and everything, and I put her, and it wouldn't take long, and she'd be whining like crazy, and like moaning, like, oh fuck me, you gotta be kidding me. And then it got bad enough to where the neighbor's dog, this is like fucking going on like 3 a.m. and like the neighbor's dog, I'm assuming, was started losing their shit because they could probably hear the cat. So I'm like, god damn it. So I let her out. Then she would immediately go back to fucking with Fox again. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And I tried making her tired. Which actually, though, when I did get her back in the bathroom, though, was when I finally actually got her to eat some food, because she would not eat food for me. But I'm thinking maybe she did eat food out of Fox's dish. Because when she was here, he wasn't eating his food immediately. I guess mainly out of fear. But he was leaving food down in the dish. And which was very surprising to me. I figured with knowing that there was another animal in the house that would eat the food, he would just immediately devour it more than usual. But then it did not end up being the case. He did leave some food down there. I'm thinking it's good, quite possibly, that she did eat some of his food in that dish. She did, I'm pretty certain, like 99% sure, did use the litter box, because it seemed like a lot more shit than comes out of one cat that was in the litter box. As last night goes, man, it was nuts. I put her in the bathroom a few times and like let her out, just like, calm on, just fucking calm down. I used the wand toy to just like get some of the energy down, the probably the extra food, and being nocturnal in general, it was probably making it just getting her more amped up. As I'm used to Fox here, he's not quite so nocturnal, because the whole time I've been here, I feed him. I get that automatic feeder. I get that going at 3 a.m. This is his first meal. Then he gets a second meal, which is just like a real small meal at lunchtime, which is like 11:30. And then his last meal is at 2:30 p.m. I do that to make it to where, you know, hey, he doesn't have quite as much energy when it comes to the time I go to sleep. So I feel like I'd probably go a little bit later with that meal, but I figure if I give it to him too late at night, I don't want him bouncing off the fucking walls, you know? I don't want all his energy. And I think it's really worked, because he comes and sleeps with me every night, because he seems to be tired when I'm tired. And when Scully was really freaking out yesterday. He was tired as shit. He didn't want to deal with this. He's like, man, I'm fucking tired. And I was trying to get him to come lay up with me in the fold-out couch up here, but he wouldn't do it. He would just stay on the stairs because she was in the she wouldn't come out of the room, and when he would come near it, she'd go to fucking attack him. I was like, son of a bitch. I knew it was stressing him out that he couldn't come sleep with me, and he was very upset about the whole thing, and so I ended up trying to sleep downstairs. Brought the pillows and stuff downstairs. First, I tried to sleep with him on the rug, and eventually just moved on to the sofa. And she would stay. She was staying upstairs at one point and just moaning upstairs because, like, I guess she wanted me up here. It was the fucking. I was like going out of my mind. I was like, all I want to do is fucking sleep, and I got all this drama. And, you know, I care about my boy Fox. I know he's getting just stressed out and just, I'm trying to be there for him. Trying to be like, hey buddy, I'm right here with you. Is he didn't sleep on me on the downstairs sofa, but he was like next to me, like above me on the sofa. So I was like, you know, I was just, you know, let him know that, hey, I'm not kicking you out for this hussy. I'm not trading you in. Not, it's, you know. I feel like he's looking over me like bros before hoes, dude. What the fuck? trying to let him know I'm still his bro. Anyway, yeah. While I was downstairs, she was freaking out. She would come down, but for most part, she was upstairs. Meow, meow, meow. Like, oh fuck me. So I'm like, all right. I guess she's not gonna be too happy unless I fucking go upstairs. And eventually, I just made my way back up here. And I did pass out somewhere between, like, I don't know, 5 a.m. I did sleep for a little bit, and I kind of came to, and she was sleeping on me, which I was like, oh, boy, this isn't going to be good. I kind of went back out, and I heard meowing above my head. I thought it was her, but it was Fox. And she was not on me at that point. And then he went to go get on me, but then he smelled the spot where she was at, and he just started hissing at me. He's like, you motherfucker, you too brute, you fucking traitor. You gonna stab me in the back like this shit? This was our spot. This was our spot. And you just totally fucking, totally kicked me to the curb. It's like, ah, oh, fuck. Not to mention, too, that, I don't know, it's almost like my, you know, I've got some issues with allergies. And I guess I'm just used to Fox's stuff, where maybe it's just because I brush him every night and I keep this stuff to a minimum. That's not a big of a problem. And then throwing in this other cat, and I didn't brush her. I didn't even attempt to brush her. But I was sneezing like crazy, and it was fucking with my allergy, especially when she was like getting on me, rubbing my face and all that. So I would have rather have had Fox just laying on me. But it was like, man, I was apologizing so much to Fox. Like, man, I am so sorry, buddy. This is not what I had signed up for. This is... what's funny, too, is like Rise of the Blues game. Shit was going good. I was like, oh, man, I think this is working out. And I filled out the application, which I guess I can still not go through with the adoption of Scully, but... I filled out the application for her adoption. I still have to go into the shelter and actually fill out some stuff. It's like right after that, I think that's what turned the tide. It's like, you know, when you the honeymoon period, you first get married, it's so great, and then all of a sudden it's just, well, it wasn't even great yet, I guess. But it seemed like things were really chilling, and I was like, okay. I think this might end up working out. And then, yeah, that's the moment I think shit's just sort of going bad. I was like, oh, fuck. Already kind of going like, all right, I guess we can do this. Cause, I mean, she was really sweet to me. She was, you know, giving me a lot of love and stuff. And she's a cute cat. Yeah, anyway, that was before like the Night Terror. And so yeah, I did the message group with Megan and Missy, and then it just like said what was going on like the night before, and just like, oh yeah, it sounds like she's in heat. And so then Missy ended up coming over and taking her back
to her house.
And then that she won't be back over here now until she gets spayed. You know, she gets all fixed, as it were. And hopefully not a psycho when she returns. It was really rough. It was a very rough night. And I was like, man, my thoughts are like, I never want to have to introduce another animal to another one. If I ever find myself in a position, whether it be fox or another animal, to where I'm like, you know what? They could use a buddy. I'm not going to attempt that. I don't think... I mean, it looks like I'm adopting this one, but I never...
Mark, you know, if I should ever make that decision again, someone please play this recording back to me so I can remember
that, like, the nightmare that... that transpired last night. That was not fun. Not fun for me. I imagine not fun for either of the cats, really.
But, I don't know. Scully was just so jacked. Just that
that manliness of Fox that she just wanted to fuck it. But he's got nothing to fuck her with. He's not going to impregnate that. I guess she didn't get the memo that that my boy's neutered. And yeah, he definitely didn't want to fuck it. He's like, man, fuck you. You slow your roll. Man. We're like, but I've been trying to since Scully left, which was, I don't know, 11:30-ish today AM. I've been trying to like win back Fox. And I think it's working. I think he hasn't completely written me out. I think I might have to wash this blanket, though, that she had slept on me on. And because, yeah, when he still didn't like that after she was gone, smelling her on that. I feel like that blanket's got to be washed. I've got some other stuff with her scent on it. When she comes back over here, hopefully he's not so pissy about it. But I feel like that blanket needs to be washed if he's going to like chill and like me again. Other than that, you know. Yeah. Hopefully when she comes back here and she's all fixed and everything, it's you know, better. I'll be back to work then. I can't afford to not sleep. that's gonna suck. And because you know, I was, before the nightmare took over last night, I had thought that I was going to drive into St. Louis for the Christmas stuff today. And the way things are going, you know, I was like, you know what? I don't think it's going to be a problem for me to leave. And actually, Friday at like 3, I had taken off and left them both out. And I went to Ernesto's to get some Mexican, some margaritas, and eat a little bit with my buddy Rob from work. And, as far as I'm aware, nothing fucking happened when I left. But the hormones kicked in sometime around the Blues game. All of a sudden, it's just like, I want to fuck every inch of this amazing three-legged cat. And which is funny because I'm now thinking of, I've started watching the What If on Disney Plus, the new season, the Marvel's What If. And, of course, they've got Howard the Duck and Kat Dennings' character from the Marvel Universe, Marcy or whatever the fuck. I don't remember her character's name. Anywho, it might be Marcy. Or it's Jeanette. No, it's not Jeanette. I don't know what it is. Either way. Just started thinking of those two getting it on. There's the one of the episodes of the What If has, of course, Howard the Duck knocking up a human in there. And then they have this child that is wanted. It's a good episode. I mean, the What If series is a good in general. I that was the latest one that I've watched. They've been putting one a day out. Was it until the new year or Christmas? They might have only put out... there's like seven of them out currently when I looked earlier. Anyway. Now, just think of Howard the Duck. I just think of... oh, that original Howard the Duck movie. I know I talked a while back that I did read that Leia Thompson was interested in making a Howard the Duck movie, and she wanted to direct it. I'm like, oh, fuck. I mean, I love the original Howard the Duck. And Leia Thompson, of course, is in the OG. And there's a YouTube show that I watched. I guess they do a podcast. This Held Up Well or something to that effect, they call it. And they talk about the Howard the Duck movie, and they're showing bits of Leia Thompson and Howard the Duck like trying to fuck, and then Jeffrey Jones, who has now been, you know, he did some jail time over pedophilia. He would taken pictures and done some stuff. The actor from Beetlejuice 1, and they had to—he was the father on there. Of course, he's the big bad in the Howard the Duck movie. And there's a scene where him and Tim Robbins like come up to Leia Thompson as her and Howard are about to fuck, and the reaction of Tim Robbins and Jeffrey Jones, who again is a convicted pedophile, if you will, this is like, what the fuck? Who Leia Thompson at the time was so smoking hot. Which I believe this would have been after Back to the Future. I mean, they're both from the 80s, so I'd really have to look and see. I'd have to do a quick IMDb on that. But I want to say, let's see, Back to the Future. 1985, okay. Howard the Duck, I want to say, was after that. Howard the Duck, yeah, the only a year apart, so they were made around the same time. But at least Back to the Future came out in the theaters before Howard the Duck. But you know, she went from trying to fuck her son in Back to the Future to trying to fuck a duck. So I guess, is that better? Is it? But I'd still just the reaction of all the people that come in, because it's like Tim Robbins, Jeffrey Jones, and like one other scientist guy that I don't think went on to become a famous actor at all that walk in there. And, oh man, I didn't realize the voice actor for Howard the Duck was... oh, no, never mind. Yeah, I think. One of the actors, I guess, was the voice actor for Admiral Akbar. But I don't know, they're setting several actors. The guy in the suit was Ed Gale. But then there's another chip. I'm not sure who who was the voice, but it might have been Admiral Akbar. I know there's a bunch of people named Howard the T-Duck. I'm not sure who actually voiced him. That is a mystery, but I just saw the guy that did Admiral Akbar in there. It may or may not have been. as I do love that movie. I mean, it's cheesy bad. Rated all of 4.7 stars on IMDb. And one of the first comic book movies to be made. I mean, 1986. And it was, of course, based on a Marvel comic, Howard the Duck. But watching it now, I mean, 4.7 out of 10 stars. But yeah, it is funny. Those scenes just make it so great where Leia Thompson's trying to just, she wants to fuck Howard the Duck so bad. She wants that duck baby. She wants that duck egg inside her. It's like on What If. And she was getting cock-blocked by these fucking scientists, you know. As they want to help him go back to his planet. Or, well, his universe, rather. And, which I guess that was really the start of the Marvel multiverse right there was Howard the Duck. Right there. Jeffrey Jones, where they had, of course, when they tried to open it back up, the fucking parasite or whatever you want to call that creature, like alien, that then takes over Jeffrey Jones, which may or may not have been the reason why he became a pedophile, a convicted pedophile. It could have been that same creature inside him that forced him to do that. We don't know for certain. We don't know it. I mean, feel like probably not, but there's a chance. Maybe they did tap into another universe, and Jeffrey Jones would not have been a pedophile. Had been not been for Howard the Duck. Might have been what turned him. Or just watching a duck get it on with a very attractive Leia Thompson was just enough to be like, I don't know what to do with myself sexually anymore. I mean, probably not. I mean, you feel like, if it was that, it would be just be like, he'd be like a furry, right? Now that's a, I wonder if there's a lot of, if that's like a big thing in furries, like there's specific, you know, I'm sure that certain people are attracted to certain, you know, furries, like, you know, they want a dog, they want a cat, they want a rabbit. But I wonder if there's ones that really want Howard the Duck. Like, I want to fuck Howard the Duck. And it's like somebody not, this is like one of them dresses Leia Thompson. And like, there's got to be some people out there that have done this, right? Not just me? No. I haven't done this. But I might, no, I won't. I mean, if I could get some with somebody that was looked like Leia Thompson and Howard the Duck, you know, I'd put on a duck, you know, I would. If that's what it took. For Leia Thompson of that era to, you know, I'd be like, you know what? For you, this time, I'll put on the duck costume. I'll do the duck walk. I'll do the Chuck Berry duck walk and dress like a duck. Just don't make me quack, please. I mean, I will if I have to. I love that movie so much that, you know, I've watched a lot of Leia Thompson stuff in the past. I used to watch her show, was it, God damn it, Caroline in the City, was that her show? Is that the, she was like the comic artist and stuff? I think that was Caroline in the City, if I'm, yes, yeah, that was her show. But I mean, what child of the 80s didn't have a thing for Leia Thompson back in the day? Anyway, but all ducks. But I think it would be great. I know I'd said in the past on a previous episode where I did say that I think it had to be on that specific episode, though. I think I did state, if I won it that night, the Powerball, that I would, it'd be like a certain amount, maybe? Maybe not. I might have just said the lottery in general, that I would give Leia Thompson the money to make a Howard the Duck movie. But again, I think the problem would be, even if you put the money up, I think the problem would be more of Marvel be like, no, we don't want another Abomination like that under our name, under our banner. Because I'd be like all about Leia Thompson directing another Howard the Duck movie. It would be utterly fantastic. But I mean, I feel like with like the What If and stuff, and like there is kind of a call for a Howard the Duck movie. Will it happen? I haven't looked at. Maybe I need to search again and just see what I mean, I feel like maybe they do at least an animated feature, but I want a live action Howard the Duck, which I feel like it's going to be at least CG'd, but I want, let's see if there's news regarding that. Has anyone said anything new? Screen Rant has a good article on it. Of course, I figured with this What If episode that they'd be talking about Howard the Duck. So Marvel just dropped a horrifying twist on the most notorious scene in the history of superhero movies, which I just referenced. For all the success of the MCU era, there have been some dark days in Marvel's comic book movie past. That's one of the brightest. Shut up. And one of them just took an even darker turn thanks to the last major superhero release of 2024. Prior to the MCU, there were several attempts to adapt Marvel Comics from the early age of serials, with 1940s adaptations for both Captain Marvel and Captain America, through to the weirdness of the late 70s Spider-Man and Captain America movies. But it wasn't until the 80s that studios started throwing real money behind Marvel rights, well before Sam Raimi's Spider-Man and the original X-Men movies changed everything. It's something of a forgotten period for Marvel, but in 86, George Lucas threatened to ruin the good name of Marvel with a movie so terrible that it belongs in a museum. Oh, it's a fucking great film. It ruined nothing. It says here, I never thought I'd be writing this, but the modern Marvel timeline has just made Howard the Duck more relevant than ever, as it should be. 1977, on the back of the success of the first Star Wars movies, George Lucas did the unthinkable. He stopped directing. His hiatus lasted until the 1990s, with Lucas stepping into a producer and writer role for multiple projects that spawned successes like Labyrinth and Willow, as well as a series of duds. None will be remembered quite as well as the one he made in 86 with director Willard Hayek. Howard the Duck. One of the greats. One of the greats in my book. Goes on to say here, the first big screen Marvel adaptation since 1944. And still one of the most bizarre, it was destined to become a notorious flop, costing a staggering $37 million to make. For reference, the highest grossing film of 1986, Top Gun, cost just $15 million. Wow. it barely managed to scrape $16 million at the domestic box office. Accounts differ on how instrumental Lucas was in the film's genesis, but he was apparently fascinated by the comic's funny / noirish tone and spearheaded its production, opting for the live-action adaptation that spiraled its cost over the initial plan to make an animated version. And thank you for that, George. Thank you for that. Thank you, sir. Critics basically mauled Howard the Duck upon release, with Gene Siskel memorably calling it a stupid film. Today, the film holds an impressively terrible 13% on Rotten Tomatoes, 2% lower than Morbius, Event Horizon. Despite its failure, Howard the Duck has become something of a cult fascination, if not quite a classic, and is one of the most surreal things you'll ever watch as a Marvel fan, if you can bring yourself to do so. It's fucking great. Watch it. Howard the Duck's love scene is the lowest point in Marvel movie history. Let's hear their description of it. I haven't watched the movie itself in quite a while. I'll admit that. what of the course of doing the show, I think early on in the early days, I think that was when I got Shelley a DVD of it. Let's see here. As one of the characters puts it, this relationship defies all laws of nature. It's fair to say that Howard the Duck has an adult tone and pushed its edgy agenda to the limit for 1986 sensibilities. That's another way of saying that at one point, the film includes a love scene between Howard and Leia Thompson's very human Beverly Switzler, moodily shot and prefaced by some skin-crawling, flirty foreplay. The scene pushes the boundaries of common decency, and while there is clearly a playful spirit, it is genuinely discomforting. I mean, I don't know about discomforting. A lot is left to the imagination because the pair are ultimately interrupted, but the film wants you to fill in the gaps. Literally. Fill those duck. Well, that'd be lady gaps with the duck parts. Anyway, worse, the film was preposterously marketed as a family-friendly comedy, but is punctuated by odd adult moments, raunchy humor, and an extended scene in a duck-themed brothel. Oh, and a topless duck with the decidedly human anatomy. At one point, Howard pauses his existential crisis to appreciate Beverly's figure as the script hauntingly captures, "I'm giving up trying to assimilate. I've got to get back to my own kind." Notices Beverly's behind as he watches her crawl across the top of her bed in her underwear. "Although I have developed a greater appreciation for the female version of the human anatomy." Naturally, outrage followed, and even now, decades on, Howard the Duck's strange foray into furry fetishism stands out even against the more mature themes of the likes of Deadpool or Logan. Those more recent movies wear their R ratings on their sleeves with hyper-violence and colorful language, but Howard the Duck was so tonally inconsistent that it's jarring. And in one of the most unexpected developments of recent MCU history, we now have what amounts to a follow-up to the scene that shows the horrifying implications of superhero duck sex. They have a baby in the What If. I don't want to spoil that. But, that's that scene where they attempt to get it on is classic. I mean, that was like classic 80s stuff, though. That was the adult humor was in all the kids' movies. I mean, RoboCop, I mean, is a brutally violent movie. And they sold fucking toys and Happy Meals for RoboCop. I mean, that's just what the 80s were. Like the heavy metal cartoon, I mean, that was marketed towards kids. That's very adult. I don't know if that was quite marketed quite to kids, quite as much as, say, Howard the Duck or possibly even RoboCop. RoboCop is an R-rated film, and it is very R-rated film. One of the greatest movies of all time. That being said, I don't know that Howard Duck's one of the greatest movies of all time, but I just love that movie. It's just so classically 80s. It's just, I love so much cheese from the 80s. I mean, that is 80s cheese at its finest. It's, you know, it's like an acquired taste, if you will, like a really aged cheese. You know, you just got to be a real 80s cheese aficionado to really enjoy it, you know? But I guess that's really all I've got. I'm sure I'll have more cat updates eventually. It's, I think, going to be a minute before Scully gets spayed, as it sounds like they've got a backlog of doing all that stuff. So Mr. Fox can breathe easy for a little while. But, that's all I've got. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.